evening. We'll start the meeting tonight with the opening prayer led by Pastor Paul Brunel, Christ Episcopal Pastor.
Let us pray. We lift up to you, Almighty God, our local leaders. We pray for our mayor, members of the city council, county commissioners, the police, firemen, judges, and all those who serve our community. We ask that they be given the wisdom to act in charity and justice so that they may serve for the common good, the people of this community. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. The Pledge of the Allegiance tonight will be led by Pastor Don Fields.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. This now brings us to the roll call. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Teich.
Here.
Pro Tem Haber.
Here.
Councilmember Fear.
Here.
Luddington.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Osmer.
Here.
Owens.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This now brings us to the approval of the agenda. And please, whoever makes the motion to include the number one Kerwood royalty and also number 12 contract authorization.
Make a motion to approve the agenda with the addendum of the Kerwood royalty and the contract authorization.
Support.
I have a motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of May the 18th, 2026.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of May 18th, 2026 are approved. This brings us to our proclamation special presentation. It's an introduction of the 2026 Kerwood royalty.
Is this on?
Oh, yes, it is. Okay. All right. Hi, I am Reagan Lapeer. I am this year's 2026 Miss Kerwood Festival. I'm super excited for the opportunity to be here today. A little bit about myself is I am finishing up my first year teaching kindergarten at Bryant Elementary here in Owosso, and I also am the varsity cheer coach at Owosso High School. I actually just finished up my tryouts right before this, so I'm super excited about that. I'm really looking forward to all the festivities this week and getting the opportunity to connect with different community members and for the opportunity to create some more meaningful memories with these two. So thank you for having us.
Hello, everyone. My name is Grace Lobb. I am the 2026 Kerwood Festival teen. I'm about to be a senior next year at Owosso High School. And in my free time, I love to play pickleball and tell dad jokes.
Give us one.
Give us one. What happens when you lose 25% of your roof? Oof.
That works better. Hi, Hi, I'm Elizabeth Reich. I'm the 2026 Kerwood Festival Princess. I'll be in seventh grade next year, and a little bit about me is I am just starting softball, and I'll have my first softball game next week.
So how do you think I learned your names again? With this thing being on my wall for, what, 3 weeks, you think? Yeah. So, Teich Reich. Huh? R-E-I-C-H. And we know how to pronounce the I, don't we? Yeah. And this young lady, I went to school with granddad, right? Mm-hmm. Mr. Tom Grant. So, and can't believe that she's already got her master's degree. Unbelievable. She's just too young looking to me. I had a great opportunity to meet both of these beautiful young ladies outside and have a nice little chat. So we would love to give you our logo pin to start off with your statues.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we are hoping you have a fantastic week. And just, you know, you three are going to have a lot of fun together, I can tell.
There you go. I think so. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for showing up. Appreciate it. Have fun. Okay?
Thank you.
It's your favorite time. The royalty coordinator wants a picture with all of you. So if the current royalty could just like sneak around the back and you're all going to look pretty, it's going to be great.
Oh.
Or go behind them. Yeah, go behind them and they'll all smile.
Oh, we're sitting in the
same. First time, it's a long time. It's not the small guys, the short guys in front. They
got to put in those so Crow can get in here.
Do you need us to like? Yeah, I actually get all of you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fine.
Except in the sky, you could totally move over a little. That'd be cool. And Amy.
Yeah, you guys are still
perfect. Scooch. I know, that way.
It's going to be lopsided.
All right, now all look at Amy and Kevin and wave. All right. You got to be included somehow, and I need to have it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. This brings us now to public hearings, which we have none. This brings us to our first citizen comments, in which each person wishing to address the city council shall be afforded one opportunity up to 4 minutes during the first occasion and 3 minutes during the last occasion. When recognized, please come to the podium, give your name and address, and direct your comments to the mayor. Is there anyone that would like to address? Yes, ma'am.
Erica Madison, East William Street, right here in Owosso. I just want to give a quick thank you, and then I'm out of here and on my way to another meeting. But as an Owosso Pride Board member and an organizer of the festival, I'm here tonight to just say thank you to the city staff, the council members, Chief Linkar and his team, and anyone that was involved in making our festival this past Saturday such a success. We saw the largest turnout that we've seen so far in the last 4 years hosting our festival, and definitely more vendors than we've ever had as well. And so I saw, you know, some of your faces there, and I appreciated that support, seeing you guys out there and loving on the LGBTQ community that was present. I know that day was very impactful for many. We heard firsthand from a lot of people, and you know, I know the performance, the finale at the end, there was a number of people that walked away emotional with tears in their eyes. It just was something that that had really been important to a lot of people, and I know that. And just always a reminder that we do this once a year for 4 hours, and this is one day out of the whole year that many people in the community feel completely comfortable showing up and being truly authentically themselves. And that's sad that they might only get 4 hours out of a whole year to feel that in this community. So that's why we just continue to do this and be the support for them. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Arlene Caswell. I've lived in Owosso for about 40 years. I live at 1966 South Morris Road in Owosso, just outside of the city limits. Thank you all for serving. I'm just becoming aware of things that are going on in our community, and I know it must be a huge responsibility. So thank you all for serving. This will be quick. I actually have a copy of each of these for you when I'm done. I'm writing to try to understand what is going on in our city ordinances that would allow anything goes in public places except exposing genitalia. I know that was really what came out of the meeting when I was here, I think it was 2 weeks ago. And I was just like dumbfounded. I find this declaration to be unacceptable. How and why would we set the bar so low? This is a recipe for disaster and an invitation to more unacceptable, vulgar, and obscene behavior in our community than I can even begin to mention. Please tell me and show me in our ordinances when and where we started on this path and where these things are stated. We must do better. We must get this changed. I know we won't all agree on everything, but who here really thinks, especially you guys, who here really thinks that anything goes in public places except exposing genitalia is a worthy standard? I mean, who really does? I really do want to know. So I'm deeply concerned, and I left my email on here. If you could please each take one. I would love to hear from you, even tonight, during your responses. I don't know how to look it up in the ordinances. I did try, but I don't understand computer things real well. So if you could let me know tonight, that would be great. Thank you so much for listening.
Further comments?
Hello, my name is Galen Ponder. I'm at 602 North Ball Street here in Owosso. I know some claims have been made. Me and a few from our church were down there at the Pride Fest over at Kerwood. And we've been down there the past few years. I wouldn't necessarily say it was the largest turnout. I think that's a dubious claim. A lot of people, there was a lot more vacant room, if I should say so. And thankfully, we had a lot of spirited conversations with some energetic youth that came up, and they had some disagreements. They wanted to have some personal conversations. And it was good. We had some good conversations with them. We were able to shine the light of Jesus Christ on these young children, these young people, and hopefully draw them away from what they're practicing. As some might hear, some here might know, I grew up and I was sexually assaulted, certainly not by straight men. And I had that experience in my life, and it has shaped in a way how I am today. And I was bisexual for a while until I became a Christian, and then I repented of that. But when it comes to what governance is, I'm going to come at everything from a biblical perspective. God does appoint rulers. He does. The Bible's pretty clear. And to show honor where honor is owed. And I thank you for letting me come up here and speak. And I just call everyone who supports this, I call them to repentance, because this goes deeper than just someone, what someone does in their church, what someone believes in their mind, what someone reads at home. This is a generational issue. This is a countrywide issue. This doesn't just stay in small, consolidated spaces. This always ends up expanding more. It becomes more pernicious. It becomes more invasive. And we know, even from the admissions of people within the Pride movement, that when they use terms like heteronormative, so we know that, we know just from basic biology and from a civilizational structure that heterosexual relationships are normal. And even you go on beyond that, we talk about national issues like the population decline, the birth rate crisis. So what do? As a nation, we just bring in a bunch of other people, many who actually don't share the same kind of sympathies towards Pride, which is ironic. And instead of encouraging our young people to live normal lives, women get husbands, husbands get wives, have children, be fruitful and multiply. God didn't give these requirements or these demands to people because they were good suggestions. He gave them because this is how you prosper a nation. This is how you bring about the strength of a nation, is through its people. And just on a civilizational level alone, a population of people practicing, for instance, just if it was just homosexuality, you're not going to have a population that's not going to increase. It's just going to continue to decline, which is going to make these issues far worse. So we just take children from the heterosexuals, and that's what happens. And I know a lot of this sounds very brutalist when I come out with it, but when you look at the information as it is pretty brutal. It's pretty dark. And yes, young children, I will reiterate again, are very vulnerable. They are very susceptible to being convinced, which they are successfully convinced in many public schools, day in and day out. They just have this ideology pushed onto them, but conveniently enough, no other ideology is allowed in there that would say to the otherwise. And now we have the supposed epidemic of young people identifying as transgender, identifying as bisexual, pansexual, any other sexual you can think of that isn't heterosexual. And these kids, they jam the information into them. I mean, Rules for Radicals 101 is what this is. Children need to be saved and preserved from this kind of behavior. If we want to see a generation, a civilization continue, or unless we just hate America so much, and we hate our county so much that if this were to progress further and further and further, I love my country. I served my country. I've seen what can happen. I think I've seen a lot of bad stuff from other parts of the world.
You have another 3 minutes at the next comments.
Thank you for your time. Up.
You bet. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Patty Van Leeuwen. I live in Scioto Township. I was at Pride this weekend. It was wonderful. I was a volunteer. I checked in vendors. I saw lots of people who were very, very excited to boost their small businesses. We were really busy checking the vendors in. Like, I didn't have time to get a drink. There were so many vendors coming in. This is a great way to boost small businesses. It was wonderful to see. But I want to talk a moment about school safety. My kids, between my husband and I, we have 4 kids. They graduated from 3 surrounding districts, Lanesburg, St. John's, and Williamston, not Owosso. And I'm coming here to share a perspective for the safety and well-being of Owosso schools, because in 2017, my daughter, who is a lesbian, called me from a grocery store in Williamston, sobbing in the bathroom. And she was there because she had fled the school because a student who was radicalized by extremists in the community with very anti-LGBTQ language and ideas, he had been harassing the Gay-Straight Alliance for 3 years. And that harassment had been allowed by the school to continue. And so it escalated, because when you allow someone to bully people and demean people, the behavior escalates. And it escalated with him making a threat to shoot up the entire school. He was going to pull the fire alarm, flush all the kids out, and shoot them all. Fortunately, some of the kids called the reporting line, you know, the see something, say something line, and the police came and they investigated the situation, and they found that it was a very credible threat. The kid had been building up firearms and tactical gear. This kid, and he was a kid, he was charged with terrorism, messed up his life. And I think about him, as upset as I was for my daughter and all her friends who were absolutely terrorized, and I mean, I do mean terrorized, okay. I feel for them, but I feel for him, because as a young person, when we looked at the social media and the community voices around, there were adults around who were filling this young man's head full of very demeaning and hateful rhetoric. They, you know, that this was an acceptable way to be. And it did him no favors, it did this community no favors. In the end, it ended up putting all of the students at risk, because that bullying was allowed to happen unchecked for 3 years. We found out when they searched the boy's house that he had been vandalizing the posters in the school that announced the GSA meetings, the Gay-Straight Alliance meetings, and the kids who were in the meeting, which included my daughter, had put their names on it so kids could find them and know where the meeting met. He'd been saving those, so he had their names. Imagine what it's like to live with that, to know that a young person was radicalized by people that just hated LGBTQ people, thought they were wrong, thought they were righteous in trying to drive them out of the school, drive them out of the community. And for a young person, that accelerated to a threat to shoot up an entire school community, caused the kid to be charged with terrorism, caused a group of kids to be terrorized. I do think there should be free speech, but I think that there are consequences for repeatedly going to a community and bullying people who are LGBTQ. I hope you will consider this deeply. Thank you.
Thank you. For the comments. Yes, sir.
Good evening. Tom Mankey, 2910 West M21. I got some great news to talk to you about all tonight. All about the things that we've got going on that are family friendly in this county. Wonderful, wonderful events. A week ago, we had Langsburg had the largest midway, the largest amount of rides, the largest. It was just fantastic. Langsburg does this three times a year. The city does. With the Lions, but it's a city thing. And we've had, that was last week. We also had last week, we had on this last Saturday, we had horses at the race, at the miniature horses out to the fairgrounds. Wonderful thing for families to go to see. We had racing at the Owosso racetrack, and we had it at the motorsports track. Now, people say at the motorsports track, there aren't carts. That's nothing. It's crazier. You're a crazier racer in a cart than you are in a big car. Big car, you're surrounded with a cage, all kinds of seat belts. You've got all kinds of safety equipment. In the cart, you get up to 70 mile an hour. You're 2 inches off the ground, and they're designed to throw you. You don't stay with a car. So there's no seat belt. So you get in a wreck at 60 mile an hour, you're flying out of the car. That's a little bit crazier. But anyway, that's coming up this weekend also. So we've got Wednesday this week, we've got racing at Owosso Speedway, Saturday at Owosso Speedway, and Saturday at Owosso Motorsports. We have horses again this weekend at the fairgrounds, and we've got before you guys come back for the next meeting, we've got rabbit shows coming up there and equestrian team shows again at the fairgrounds. And don't forget Kerwood this weekend. What a great thing for kids! They got fishing for kids and such. And I will say this: what I think is really nice that Kerwood did this year was there was something that they had last year that wasn't really that family friendly, and it's been moved to a bar this year. So they're really watching out for children. So appreciate it. And if there's anything else that anybody else can think of that's coming up, please let everybody know, because it is we live in a great community. Thank you.
Thank you. For the comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for council comments at this time.
I have something, always.
Okay.
This is actually not from me. This is somebody in our community, a teacher, a mother, resident, posted something, and I asked if they would feel comfortable coming to council and speaking it into the record during citizen comments, and they felt like that might make them a little bit too vulnerable, but asked if I felt comfortable reading their words that I would, and I do. So if you guys will indulge me. This is from one of our residents, one of the people in our community. As Pride Month begins, I have spent a lot of time reflecting on why events like the Owosso Pride Festival matter so much to families like mine. From the outside, our life is beautiful. We are surrounded by people who love and support us, and for that we are incredibly grateful. But there is also a reality that many do not see. There is a constant awareness that not everyone will accept your family. There is the uncertainty of meeting new people and wondering how they will react. There is the worry that a casual comment, a judgment, or an act of exclusion could remind you that some people believe that your family is somehow less worthy of respect. As parents, we carry another concern, our children. We know that children can sometimes repeat the biases that they hear from others. We worry about the comments our children may hear and the messages that they may receive about their family. We want them to grow up confident, proud, and secure in who they are without feeling that they need to defend the people that they love. Many people ask why pride events are necessary. For families like mine, the answer is simple. Visibility matters. The rainbow shirts, pride flags, buttons, and festivals are not about seeking special treatment. They are signals of safety and acceptance. They tell people that they can show up as themselves and know that they are welcome. At the Pride Festival, people are free to be authentic. They can celebrate who they are with, who they are without fear of judgment, ridicule, or exclusion. Children see people from different backgrounds, identities, and experiences being welcomed and valued. They learn that differences are not something to fear, but something that makes a community stronger. For one day, many people experience something that others take for granted, the ability to be completely themselves in their own hometown. They can hold a partner's hand, introduce their family, and participate in their community without wondering whether they will be judged or rejected. The festival is also important because it reminds people that they are not alone. It allows members of the LGBTQ plus community to find support, connection, and hope. It allows allies to visibly demonstrate that they care. For some attendees, it may be the first time that they have felt truly seen and accepted. My family is fortunate. We have support, love, and a strong community around us. But again, not everyone has that. Pride exists for those who are still searching for that acceptance, for those who still feel isolated, and for young people who need to know that there is a place for them in this world. That is why the Owosso Pride Festival matters. It is not about division. It is about belonging. It is about creating a community where every person knows that they have value, where every family is treated with dignity, and where every child can grow up believing that they deserve to be loved exactly as they are. We may not all share the same experiences, but I hope that we can understand the importance of making our neighbors feel safe, welcome, and respected. For many families, that's exactly what this pride provides. So I thought it was really well written, and I thought it was worth hearing another voice. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything, but I just can't sit back and not. Number one, Ms. Caswell, not everybody on this board agrees with what's going on. I do believe we need to protect children. You go ahead and have your pride event. I could care less. But when it comes to children, and please don't tell me you're not grooming, because one of the stories from the storyteller was dare to be different. No, that's grooming. Have your event. Keep the children away. That's what all I want to say.
Further comments? Seeing none. This brings us to the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve.
Support. I have a motion to support. This be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the consent agenda is approved. This brings us to items of business, which we have one closed session. I'd like to have a motion.
Make a motion to take a closed session.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Fear?
Yes.
Owens?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes. The closed session is approved. This brings us to our second citizen comments, in which you will be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the council at this time. Is there anybody that would like to address the council?
OK.
Galen Ponder, 602 North Ball. There was a comment that was made, and it specifically involved school violence. And I would say, just for the record, that I think everyone here, reasonable people, oppose school violence. Most people who want school violence don't show up to city council meetings. But I've noticed that there's a lot of, I guess what we call bullying. I experienced that bullying growing up, so I know what that feels like. And had threats made at me before. But I think we got to be careful about when we talk about radicalization, because I know from my church, everyone here, we would speak strongly against, as a matter of fact, the punishments that we think should be required for people who do stuff like that are extraordinarily severe. Because you can't let that kind of stuff permeate. You can't just throw these people in a prison system for the rest of their life and they become a burden on society that way. But at the same time, some of those same people, and I'm not just talking about whoever just spoke, I'm talking about, I've heard this before, no one wants to talk about the recent epidemic of verified transgender shooters who go into a Catholic high school or a private school and shoot up a bunch of young kids, elementary school kids, and that gets thrown under the rug. Google themselves even try to diminish this kind of information. You have to go to outside sources to see, no, this is the actual list of people who identified with manifestos. You look at their social media, you look at all this, and they shoot it up. Do I think every gay person is going to shoot up a school? Absolutely not. I think it's a minority. I think people get radicalized on both sides, and that's terrible. When, if you are to the point where you want to go and commit real violence against people, then that's always a problem. That should always be called out, and that should always be punished. But I just want to verify with everyone here that as a Christian, I want to spend eternity with everyone in this room in Christ's kingdom. I don't want anyone here to perish. Neither does God. But people have to repent, and including people who are violent. And I want to clarify that again. I would love to spend eternity with everyone in the kingdom of heaven so we can see Christ for who he is, and we can spend an eternity with God, the same one who created the air we breathe, the ground we walk on. So I just want to say that radicalization can take many, many different forms, especially now with the way social media is and the rapid transmission of information. But I just urge everyone here, if you have sympathies towards the ideology behind LGBTQ, please repent. Turn to Christ. You can be forgiven, every one of you, all of you. Because at the end of the day, when you stand before Christ, you cannot give him an excuse as, I was told to do this or this and that. No, everyone will be judged on their deeds. And unbelief will sentence people to eternal torment. And God is perfectly just to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Yes, sir.
Well, I wasn't going to bring this up, but I think it's since we're hearing about bullying and such, and how bad such is like that, I think that I've got to say thank you to the Argus because they ran the story. I haven't run it yet. I won't run it until the man is sentenced. They already ran the story on a young man from our community who pled guilty to children. He was one of the largest supporters coming on my news line, hitting on me all the time. How arrogant, how mean I was that I wasn't for grown men dressing up in dresses and sitting down and reading books and then dancing with children. He was one of their largest supporters. He just pled guilty. Children. We have laws. And if there's any pictures that show, if the hand is anywhere near the breast or on the leg, I'm going to press and put up of these drag queens this weekend. I'm going to press our prosecutor to prosecute because we have people sitting in prison for doing far less. A man cannot touch a child here, whether their parents like it or not, or here, That's like 6 years in prison. And we've got several, and we got one going to prison now from our community. So I would like to see if there's any pictures that were taken of these drag performers touching a child inappropriately anywhere on the chest, on the buttocks, or on the thigh. It needs to go to our prosecutor. Our police department might not want to do anything about it. Our attorney might not want to do anything about it. But our judges want to do something about it. Thank you.
Further comments? Further comments? Yes, ma'am.
Ashley Short, 1607 Young Street. I don't know if anyone from our school board is here. Just with all the concern about safety for our children in our community, we have a school bond that is up for vote this fall. It got turned down 2 years ago. I just would like to draw that to everyone's attention for safety of our children. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to go to the podium. I just want to, I'm a city resident. My name is John Schneider. There have been a few issues I've had with lights not being turned on after construction work.
Do you mind going to the podium for hearing impaired people? That's important.
So I just really want to quick give some props to the city. These three times that cities have gone out, or the lights have gone out near my apartment, I made a call here. Next day, all three instances, DPW had gone out there and made sure everything was right. So that's not normal for communities. So I just wanted to let you guys know that that's an outstanding job. So thank you very much for that. Street lights.
Further comments? Seeing none, this brings us to the city manager's report. City manager.
Mr. Mayor, after public comment, there's usually a council comment.
I'm sorry.
Somebody doesn't have any.
Thank you for the reminder. Council comments. Yes.
I just wanted to give a shout out to all the volunteers that came down last weekend to clean downtown. The flower beds are looking beautiful. The trash is all gone. The pocket park near where I work is like very clean. So I wanted to give a way to go to all the volunteers that showed up and made that happen. So thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Further comments? Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had our second meeting through the county for recycling, and boy, the state has sure put some lofty goals on people, and I just don't know if they're going to be attainable, but you know what, we're moving forward. So I just wanted to report that.
That's great. Yeah, and we had our repurposing library board meeting that we have once a month, that we put a 7-person committee together to repurpose the Carnegie Library. Meeting went very well. We talked about obviously the reverter clause of the land that we have to deal with, and we had Attorney Scott Gould at the meeting and had a good discussion on that. So we got several direction points that from that meeting that we're working on, and we have some time to get it done, because we don't think the move will take place for a couple of years. So it's good time, good to get this. Another thing was the HDC. We're looking to approach the Historic District Commission to possibly put the library into the HDC as a singular building. Before, you had to have a boundary, is what I understand, which we do have for the HDC. But now that I think they've changed some rules and you can do a singular building, this makes it a lot easier to make that happen. And that opens up opportunities for investors when you're in the HDC. So that's just two of the things that we discussed. There was many more. So it was a very good meeting, and we're hopeful for that building. Further comments?
The only last thing I would say is school's out this week, this coming week on Thursday. It's a minimum day for all the schools, so everybody should please keep your eyes peeled. There's going to be a lot more kids walking around town, riding their bikes. They're not necessarily the best bike riders yet, so just as much as we look for motorcyclers, look for little children on scooters and bikes and walkers.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. Further comments? Seeing none, now this brings us to the city manager's report. City manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will piggyback off of your brief report on the library committee. I wasn't able to attend, but I did meet with staff today to talk about some of the questions that the committee had for me that I need to research. But you are correct. Act 169 does allow for standalone properties to be added to the HDC outside of the existing boundary, meaning we don't have to link up all of the properties between the boundary and the library building to include it. And that's good news because you're right. There are increased incentives for potential developers on properties that are either on the National Register, which this one is not, or contained within some sort of historic district, which is the goal. Now, this committee, I don't know if you've been talking to HDC members, but the HDC did plan on pursuing this on their own. Because it was preservation of that building is the other side of the coin for incentives. So it is more expensive to preserve something in a historical manner, but everyone seems to be in agreement that it's imperative for this particular building, not only because it was granted to us by the Carnegie Foundation over 100 years ago, but it is very historically significant. So I will be sure to report to the HDC. They're going to be happy to hear that the committee is already going to be pursuing a recommendation to council.
If I can interrupt City Manager, Sean Harrington, who is here, he is on the Library Board Committee, so he has that message. Jeff Ferretta is also on that board. He was not at the meeting. So we have two on the board that will bring that message to HDC. The other thing was Gary Wilson, that you approached to be on the committee, had been on the committee, I think, and was the one that helped establish that committee, in 2010 or whatever it was. And he was very supportive of it as well. So we have board strength from the library board to go with you with that message.
So it'll be a good exercise for the HDC as well, because the process to establish new boundaries hasn't been undertaken since the initial establishment of the boundary in 2010. Obviously, it's a much nobody from the HDC's inception is on the board now, and this board is they're adamant that they want to get more involved. So this will be an opportunity for them and good practice for staff too on expanding that boundary to include the library. There are a list of questions that are waiting for me, and one is regarding parking, so I'm working this week to answer those questions and send them off to the library committee for your next meeting. Moving on, the Washington Street project, the Citizens Law project, this is the fifth third building in North Washington. All of the grant amendment materials were submitted to us by the owner, and we needed those by not this last Friday, but the Friday before. We got those, and now we have submitted them to the MEDC and MISHTA, and it's going to require the leadership through the Strategic Fund Board at MEDC to approve these amendments. I'm feeling good about it because they were the ones who initially recommended that the owner work with the city to apply for these amendments. But it's going to take some time. I think they only meet once a month or once every other month, so we should know by July or August. The one hiccup here is that the HDC is getting restless with the continued condition of the building being what it is, the facade. Their certificate of appropriateness expires for this project in September, and there's no guarantee that they will extend it unless some work can be visibly seen before September. So I'll report on that as best I can. You know, HTC meets every month, but this is going to be a topic of discussion for them. To piggyback on that, the HTC passed a resolution urging council to reconsider looking into adopting a vacant commercial building ordinance. This would be an inspection and registration program for, I'm not sure if they're going to include all commercial buildings, if they're recommending all commercial buildings within the city, but at least within their district, they're very interested, which is most of downtown. The DDA will be weighing in on this too, because the last time it was brought to council, which it was a previous council, there wasn't any interest to see a draft ordinance creating that program. But I think if DDA and HTC weigh in on it, we can at least, you can at least expect an urging from HTC to adopt such an ordinance and program. So internally, we're talking about how that will look, but we're really not going to start moving in earnest on that idea until council says that you want to see some sort of program. So that's in the next couple months. Look out for that. The DDA would like to weigh in first before it comes to you. The Kerwood Castle renovation, we're going to get through Kerwood just so we can have the facility open. But as soon as Kerwood is done, the renovation project is going to begin. Hopefully this will mean that we can keep the castle open. But once they start tearing into that extension off of the turret for the stairs, we will most likely have to close down at least that portion of the facility, but maybe the whole thing for safety reasons. It depends on what we find behind those exterior walls. If there's rotted wood, then we'll probably have to cordon off the whole thing and get it done as soon as we can. The OHC, they're really hoping to preserve as much of the season as they can because they get revenue from attendees at the castle, not to mention they have their donation basket out there as well. So they understand that time is of the essence, but they also understand that this is one of the most historic buildings in the city, and they need to take their time with it. So if you remember, Parent Construction was awarded that bid at a previous meeting. I think it was your first meeting in May. But we're looking forward to getting that started. Across town, the Bentley Park splash pad. The current splash pad is demolished. It's gone, and very soon the contractor will be installing the new one. We're hoping this will be complete by July. We'll do our best to be able to preserve what's left at that point of the warm weather months to run it and see how well it works. I talked with Director Suhanik this morning, and he gave me some more information on the water service line replacement project. Currently, we are at 467 service lines that have been addressed. Our goal was 500, so we are far ahead of schedule with that, and that's due a lot to not only his efforts, but the wrangling of the contractors to work with DPW to get this done. And they're going as quickly as they can, but as you know, this is a very invasive process to replace service lines. But I think 467 lines by June 1st, we're doing really well. And I think a lot of it is because we've had a lot of practice at this. Owosso, very proud of what our guys have done. Some communities haven't even started yet. We are getting a lot of attention from Eagle, some of it not great. But we're working through it, and I chalk that up to the fact that Owosso is getting things done in this realm. We're getting a lot of service lines done, so they're paying attention to us. That can be good and bad. It creates some more headaches for us internally in implementation, but overall, I think it's a good partnership. We understand the rules, and we're just moving as fast as we can. One thing that will possibly come up, and it hasn't been budgeted yet, or it hasn't been budgeted in your approved budget, but the Michigan Avenue Railroad Crossing. This is at the end of the brick portion of Michigan Avenue. And if you remember, some months, maybe a year ago, the homeowners at the end of that road were in complaining about the condition of the street because of truck traffic across that railroad grade crossing. And I told them that I would look into it with MDOT to see what the process is to permanently close that grade crossing. And I've had experience with this before in my previous communities where MDOT had a program where they will pay communities to close railroad grade crossings, but that is only if it is public. This one is not. This is a public, or it's a private grade crossing. So MDOT said, well, there's no money available for closing private, but there's also no oversight and red tape from us. So this is purely a decision that the local government can make. But we're still gathering some information. I need to talk to Tom to see what concerns he has. But we wanted to hold off on any discussion of this until M71 Washington Street was completed. Because if we would have cut it off then, there would have been no access. And the homeowners there at the end of the street have been very, very patient, but now they're asking me, hey, since it's done, can we work towards getting that closed? So we're doing the investigation, but any work that has to be done obviously will cost something, so we'll keep you in the loop along the way, and some approvals will have to happen if this is something you want to do. The Kona Villa Millennia Housing issue, from the city's standpoint, on the unpaid water bill, it has largely been resolved. That figure is around $88,000, the overdue water bill. MSHDA will be paying that. They have arranged payment from their property reserve account, and HUD has been in town. They're going to be in town at least monthly for meetings with Millennia Housing. So while Millennia is debarred, they're on the federal debarment list, that does not mean that they cannot continue managing the subsidized housing that they currently have in their portfolio. They just can't take on any more. So MSHDA and HUD tell me there's not any push to have a change in ownership, and they have assured me that the cooperation and work in partnership with Millennia has improved greatly since HUD and MSHDA have been involved. But from our standpoint, the outstanding water bills will be paid or have been paid already. I haven't had a chance today after my week off to check with finance to see if that payment has registered. But their goal was to pay that before it went to the county for tax collection. So that's resolved. But HUD is still keeping a close eye on Millennia Housing just to make sure that a lot of deferred maintenance gets taken care of. And that was all I had.
Thank you, City Manager. Any questions?
One more thing.
Yes,
sorry.
Sir.
There's a company that's going to be coming in on June 17th here at City Hall. And they're going to be hosting a blood drive here in this room. We've done one already, and their goal is to have at least 15 donations, although I think they exceeded that the last time. That will be June 17th. I believe all day. They may be done by 6 o'clock. So if anyone's interested in giving blood, June 17th here at City Hall. Now I'm done.
Thank you, City Manager. Questions?
I just had a question about the middle school. And I only bring it up because I was recently alerted by my 13-year-old that apparently there are several points of entry into that building and that there might be some people, unhoused people, maybe defending their access to that space. I don't know if you know anything about this. I was going to ask, but then I didn't know what the actual general status was of the middle school project. So I figured two things. One, ask you, and then...
I'll take it one at a time. I was made aware 2 weeks ago that there was egress into the building that was possible, and that the school was alerted of that, and the building official addressed that with them and said, you have to make sure that is sealed off and that there's no access in it and no one in there.
Okay.
So they are aware of it. They're doing their best. As far as the project is concerned, no change.
No change.
I know that the school district may be, I can't recall when the purchase agreement is expiring. At that point, they'll have a decision to make. But as far as the funding package, Venture is still in the same position. They keep telling us, and they keep telling the schools, that the value of the tax credits changes. And even with the $800,000 appropriation from the state legislature, it's still not enough to get it started. So that's what I know. I don't know if you were directing a question to Kevin. I don't know if he had anything to add about
public safety. Probably when I was walking up, I noticed that that's closed.
Yes, everything's been sealed up as of whatever it was a week or two ago.
Oh, okay. Well, it was open at Pride.
Okay, I'm not aware of that one.
Okay, perfect. I'll tell you where.
One question I have on the middle school, the roof. I understand there's issues there and there's leaking into the building and potential degrading of the building itself, which is not good when it comes to water, as we all know. Is that an issue? I've heard things that there's water on the third floor, on the floor and streams and things like that. And the last thing you want is a building. We've already dealt with Matthew's building and so forth, so roofs are important. Have you heard anything about the roof?
No, other than the fact that the county land bank did provide money to repair the roof, if you remember. Yes. I don't know where that is. I would have to direct your question to Steve Brooks at the school system for an answer there. You know, we don't own the building. The school does, and they have an agreement with Venture. And this is one reason why a vacant building registration ordinance and program is going to be of use here, because the city simply doesn't have access right now. We can look at the exterior, but that's it. Because in part, when the HDC discussed this, that building came up. The whole idea was, you know, to avoid another situation that we had with 117 Exchange Street, where the building collapses and then we got to deal with that. We don't want that to happen anymore, but we can't adequately inspect these buildings without some sort of registration inspection program in place. But as to your questions about the roof's condition now and the role that the land bank is playing in the funding of repairing or reconstructing the roof, just to hold them, just to make sure the building is secure until it can be redeveloped, that's a question you're going to have to ask Steve Brooks. And we can reach out to him if you'd like.
If you would, I'd appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, we do use that building for training, and it wasn't leaking the last time we were there, which was
that's good to know.
Fall. But Mike Hendrickson, who is in charge of their operations, does a very good job and is very responsive to whatever we got that time. So
great.
I can't speak at any time recently. I haven't been in there since the fall. But
maybe it's just hearsay. I don't know. No.
I have one other question. So with the vacant building ordinance, when do you think we would see that brought to council, potentially?
DDA will want to discuss it first, so their meeting is this Wednesday. I will attend, but I know that they don't have anything on their agenda. So it might not be until next month where they can put pen to paper and vote on it. And it'll be an ordinance, so after that, it'll come to you. You'll decide, do you want to direct Scott to give you a draft? And the HDC was good enough to really go through and provide a lot of recommendations on what this ordinance should look like. They looked at a lot of other communities that do these programs. They had a whole spreadsheet, so they laid out the resolution in a way that would help the DDA and you.
Perfect.
Thanks.
All right.
I had a question. You had mentioned with the 123 North Washington, with the historic district's certificate expiring in September. Is the timing of that all going to work out? Because you said they would hear something from MISHTA in July or August, but the committee is looking for some exterior work to get done before September. But my understanding is they can't do any exterior work until all of this is settled. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The timing, the September expiration date, that was made last September.
Sure.
So all of these certificates last a year.
Okay.
And there have been instances where the HTC has extended.
Okay.
But this is such a focal point for the community and for the HDC that I'm not going to make any guarantees until they decide if they decide to extend it, if they're required to.
Okay.
So that's where we are.
And then the 500 goal for the water lines, was that for 2026?
Ryan, if you can weigh in on that.
That actually was a grand total for 2025, 2026, and 2027.
Oh, okay. All right.
They are
so well ahead. Okay.
So I'm having a hard time seeing how to pay for it. That's how fast they're
okay. hold on. And then the Chipman Drain M21, I saw that MDOT is prepared to share 50% of costs. Do we have a timeline on if that project's going to happen? Or
I need to reach back out to PDA Group. They are the engineer for the County Drain Commissioner. It's difficult for me to say hurry up because they're not our engineer. But when the state said they were willing to explore a 50-50 arrangement with the city, everyone seemed to perk up at that because usually the state pays less than 10% of the stuff.
Okay.
The Drain Commission still needs to decide if they're going to have any involvement. I don't think they will. I think they're just going to say, you guys work with the state, and I think that way we can avoid a lot of red tape because it's just us and the state. But PEA Group is still working on the bid documents.
Okay.
It took them a while to do the survey.
Which was completed in April.
And Rob and I attended that meeting.
Okay.
But they're still not done with the bid documents.
Okay.
I'll reach out to them and give you an update.
And then M21 is scheduled for late spring, early summer repairs. Mm-hmm. Is that happening? Because is M21 going to be closed, or is it just...
We're not sure yet.
Okay.
They just said they wanted to... Well, are you talking about the bridge or the street?
The bridge.
Oh, this is the
water. Over the river. Oh, so it's under.
Underneath the bridge.
Yeah. Okay,
They're
all right.
Going to be reconstructing that. It depends. They may have to close a lane down or
okay.
two because they're going to have to hang equipment off the side of it when they start pumping concrete, I imagine.
Okay.
So...
I was just anticipating traffic issues with that.
There will be because you can count on some lane closures
okay.
for that. They're not doing anything to the surface of the driving surface. It's
okay.
all that
water. It's just the under stuff. Okay. And then the homeless encampments, how long are we thinking that they were there?
I don't know. What do you think, Kevin? A couple months?
Jumping the one off a...
There's no location listed here, so I don't know.
Rosevere,
okay. I was assuming, but...
How long have they been there? I don't know. I mean, when we get reports, we go out there. But last two or three times we've been there, there's property out there, but there's no people. We, you know, contact them. We leave them a letter, let them know what, you know, where they stand on city property, you know, resources, et cetera, that we have prepared for them.
Okay.
And I know they're going back out there tonight because we got a report over the weekend.
Okay.
But it's kind of a transient, so they're not keeping hours or anything along those lines.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I was just wondering because the cleanup size mentioned. Yeah, is a lot.
Yep.
So I was just wondering how long.
We don't know for sure, but I would guess at least a couple months. The bright side to that is I did meet with the Gratiot County guys who are expanding the winter homeless shelters in Owosso, and they provided a report that I'm going to share with council at your next meeting. A lot of good news there. They really expanded the program with Pastor Beal's help, and were able to expand to a couple churches. Now, they will be looking at a permanent location moving forward. So this report that they're providing to you is just the first step to say, hey, look, we've been here a year, and this is how much we've expanded, which means this is how much service we've been able to provide. And I was very encouraged after that. And these guys are organized, they're serious, and they're good at what they do. So it might be a hard discussion with the community on a permanent placement of a homeless shelter, but that discussion is going to come.
Okay.
Further questions for the city manager? Seeing none, this now will bring us to the closed session, so everybody may be excused at this time. Do I have a motion to
now that we're yes.
open?
No.
Open? Do I have do I have to hit the gavel? No.
You can hit the gavel.
Okay.
So first we're going to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Yes, I need a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Do I have a second? I have a motion and a support. This would be a roll call. No. I have motion and support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, the same. Minutes are approved. Now I need a motion. Okay. Rachel.
Oh, I make a motion that we approve a 5% increase for the city manager's salary effective immediately.
Support.
Any discussion? Seeing none, I have a motion and a support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
Osmer.
Yes.
Luddington.
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber.
Yes.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Mayor Teich.
Yes. The motion is approved.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you,
City Manager. Make a motion to adjourn. Support.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor.
Well, I want to know about the barbecue we're having.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. We're adjourned.
I hear it's pretty greasy.